Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a 5-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Today, the story of a feeble king who vainly attempts to rule his realm while his courtiers indulge in a game of murderous musical thrones, complete with backstabbing of the figurative ilk, and when it comes to Gloucester, the rather more literal. It was on or around the summer of 1590 when Uncle Will's thoughts turned again to the 4 decades of dynastic dysfunction between England's nobility and its monarchy, filled with brutal battles, extant executions, and political plots of malevolent murder. It is in William's rather extensive tale of Henry VI that we fall to our knees and find the first use of the word grovel. A quickish recap. Henry V of Agincourt fame is dead, and his infant son Henry VI inherits a fragile crown. Meanwhile, back in France, the English struggle to maintain control, with Lord Talbot leading brave but doomed campaigns against the rising power of Joan of Arc, of burning at the stake fame. Meanwhile, back in England, rivalries brew. The Red Rose of Lancaster and the White Rose of York mark the start of a bitter dynastic feud. Back in court, the young king grows up surrounded by ambitious nobles, especially Duke Humphrey of Gloucester and his enemies, including the scheming Cardinal Beaufort and the cunning Duke of Suffolk. By the end of part one, Suffolk arranges a politically fraught marriage between Henry and Margaret of Anjou, which ushers in domestic instability. Which leads us to part two. The nobles, now having read the fine print of the marriage agreement, which includes giving away huge tracts of land in France, are less than thrilled. Gloucester fumes, York broods, Beaufort plots, and Suffolk practically pants with power lust. In Act 1, Scene 2, we find the Duchess of Gloucester, a woman possessed of ambition, sass, and absolutely no patience for her husband's moral compass, trying to nudge him out of his mopiness.
Why droops my lord like over-ripened corn, hanging the head at Ceres' plenteous load? Why doth the great Duke Humphrey knit his brows, as frowning at the favours of the world? Why are thine eyes fixed to the sullen earth, gazing on that which seems to dim thy sight? What seest thou there? King Henry's diadem, enchased with all the honours of the world? If so, gaze on, and grovel on thy face until thy head be circled with the same.
It is interesting here what she says to her husband. Why are you staring at the ground? What do you see there? Could it be King Henry's crown? Well, if that's what you see, my love, fall to your knees, grovel in submission, until that crown is placed on your head. This speech is an absolute masterclass in poetic persuasion and ambition, only outshined by Lady Macbeth's coercion of her husband in unbelievably explicit terms. But Eleanor here is essentially goading her downcast and dispirited husband toward treason, cloaked in poetry. If we look back to the etymology of the word, I know, how could we not? We get a little clue as to how Uncle Will came up with grovel in this circumstance. Rather than the Latin, grovel came to us from a people we really don't associate with it, the Norse. The Old Norse word agrufu meant to face downward, which moved in the Middle English to grufa or gruf, and the suffix ing was added, thus giving us grufing into groveling, and William's simplification of that to grovel.
Oh, don't grovel. One thing I can't stand, it's people groveling.
Sorry.
Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by a generous donation from the Cowie Family Fund. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.